reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, found on page 778. And we read Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I am not to be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Philippians. It's chapter 2 on page 1256. And we read Philippians 2 beginning at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1151. And we read John 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This is our text. Many years ago, just before I came here to Zion, having heart surgery, open heart surgery for a bad valve, I was schooled in a right understanding of the difference between having what you want and having what you need. For instance, after 6 to 8 hour surgery, that night my throat was parched. I wanted water. I couldn't have water. I was given ice chips, and they said, "Go slow with that, very slow, because you don't want to get sick just right after heart surgery. It doesn't feel good." There are two things that you don't want to have to do after open heart surgery, for those of you especially who might still have it someday. Number one, you don't want to sneeze. I had my surgery during the height of allergy season. I gave specific instructions to the congregations. Do not send flowers. But those ice chips were so good. And sure enough, I had as many as I wanted. And sure enough, the other thing you don't want to have to do right after heart surgery, I did. I got what I wanted, but man, it was not what I needed. The other thing I remember wanting to do desperately was sleep. When I was sleeping, I didn't feel anything, and that was great. And you know, they've got stuff in hospitals that can make you sleep really good. And I remember asking them again and again, "Can you just give me a little something to put me to sleep?" And they said, "No, that's not what you need. You need to be awake. You need to be actively using your lungs. That's what's good for you." And then the next day, you want to stay in bed. And you know what they do? They come to you and say, "No, you need to get up." "I don't want to get up." But they made me do what I needed. Everybody wants a Savior. And on this Palm Sunday so many years ago, as the Pharisees noted, the whole world had gone after him. Everybody was looking at Jesus Christ to be a Savior. And even today, I would say most people want a Savior. But there's a difference between wanting a Savior and getting the Savior you need. For instance, even during the ministry of Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 6, there was this great miracle that he did, the feeding of the 5,000. It was a glorious thing. And you know, if God wanted to, and in effect, you know, through means he does, but if God wanted to, he could miraculously feed the entire world. Boy, a Savior who could eliminate poverty completely. No more commercials. on feeding these people or helping feed those people. Poverty is gone because Jesus can provide for everyone. Wouldn't that be great? And yet, though Jesus was fully capable of that during his earthly ministry, when they, according to John, came by force to make him king, he refused. Oh, he was a savior, but he didn't come to be that kind of savior. On the day that he enters into Jerusalem, the crowds go out to meet him. And one of the explanations offered in John chapter 12 was they saw in Jesus this miraculous healer. I'm sure many people in Jerusalem that day had already heard many stories of Jesus giving sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, making the deaf to hear, curing even things like leprosy. And now you add to that the stories about Lazarus just a few weeks before this Palm Sunday. He even raises the dead. But you know, he didn't cure everybody at that time. And the accounts of him raising people from the dead are extraordinarily few. Could he have done it for all? Yes, he could. He could have been the savior that kicked out the Romans. After all, when they came to arrest him later on this week, he speaks a word and all the armies established before him just fall flat. There's all kinds of saviors that Jesus could be. And if truth be known, when we go to God in our prayers, there's often many types of saviors we want him to be as well. We all have those things where we think, you know, God, if you could just do this, that's what I need from you. But Jesus didn't come to be the Savior that we want. He came to be the Savior that we need. Even though there's times when we say to him, that's not what I want. What he came to be is a Savior from sin. And if God could do all those other things that we want him to do in our lives, what he wants us to understand is that really wouldn't solve the real problem. You know, poverty is not God's fault. He really does bless this world with all that it needs to feed the people of the world. The reason they're not all fed is because of sin, because of laziness, or selfishness, or hatred. And even if God did cure all diseases on this earth, don't think for a minute that that would somehow make this world a happy place. Each and every day, if you open the newspaper, there's another person that's taken their own life, often a person who was perfectly healthy. In fact, the suicide rate is highest among the youngest and healthiest among us. Because disease and all those other problems are ultimately just symptoms. Symptoms of the real problem, which is sin. And though we think that if God could only fix this or fix that in my life, all things would be good, it's not true. There's one problem. And Jesus Christ came to be the one solution. A Savior from sin. And that is why, in likelihood, that the words of Hosanna blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Changed so quickly by Good Friday and turn into shouts of, crucify him, crucify him. They find out they're not getting the Savior they want. But he still is the Savior that the world needs and that you and I need. And so he goes to that cross. He suffers and dies, not for sins of his own, but for our sins. In his suffering and death, he pays God the cost of our sin and satisfies his wrath against us. And then in baptism, he gives unto us that righteousness which is our own. And he creates in us a new person. A person, as I like to tell you, who is perfect, free from sin. But here's the problem. It still lives inside a body that is full of sin. And for a short time, the two of us have to get along together here on this earth. Maybe get along is not the right word, to be at war together. And the ultimate triumph, while it is already born in us, still awaits its glory when in death we put off that sinful flesh so that the new flesh can be in that world where sin is no more, and because of that, hunger is no more, and disease is no more, and death is not anymore. But you know what? I don't want to die. I've already been through heart surgery. That's bad enough. Death isn't fun. It's hard. Life here is hard. But God says, don't be afraid. This is good for you. By it, I'm going to remove that sinful flesh from you so that you can live in glory with me. He's not the Savior that sinful flesh craves. But thank God, he's the Savior we needed. And God grant that one day, that heavenly chorus we noted at the very beginning of our service is something we will be a part of. Again, gathered together, white robes, palm branches in our hands, singing the hymns of praises to the one who died and rose again, that we might die and rise with him also. We also pray that in a world which wants so many things, and often so many things that are destructive to us, may through our testimony come to know not the Savior the world wants, but the Savior the world needs. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.